there, everyone. Hello. My name is Jason Dinges. This is Lost Rhetoric, a dim space for light hearts, where we discuss all manner of odd. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for coming back. If you are a return listener, and if you are a new listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been about 3 months since I've put out what I would consider a proper episode, a real episode of this show. About a month ago, I put out a mini episode just to touch base, just to say hi, let you guys know what was going on with me, and to just tell a little story about a cop in Nebraska who got abducted by aliens. His name was Herb Schirmer. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. But yeah, it's been since June of this year, 2021, that I put out an episode. And tonight is going to change all that. I am kind of back. And I mean that loosely. So thank you all for waiting patiently. If you have been waiting patiently, if you have been waiting impatiently, I suggest you live your life in a different manner, a much less stressful manner. But regardless of how you've been living your life, thank you for being here with me, and thank you for being patient. Unless you're brand new to this. If you're brand new to this, I hope you're a patient person, because you're going to need patience, because things are changing around here. Now, you might know that I went really hard the first year of this show. I did 52 episodes in 53 weeks, and that's just not sustainable. I've mentioned it before. Going forward, it's just not going to happen. I'm going to try my best to make this a bi-weekly show, or as close to bi-weekly as I can make it. What I'm going to have to do is keep it pretty loose, and I hope that's okay with you. I know, me personally, I like to keep rigid schedules, and shows that I listen to, I prefer if they keep to a set day of the week that I can rely on their show coming out, because I look forward to it. And I wish I could provide that to you like I used to, because it used to be every Saturday at midnight Pacific Standard Time, a new episode of Lost Rhetoric was coming out, but I just can't really provide that, at least not for the next, I don't know, 6 months, maybe a year, until things get a little more stabilized in my life. So I'm gonna keep cranking out episodes, and I'm gonna keep it pretty casual. I've got some stuff booked, and it's just not as it's not as jam packed as it used to be, and that's just the way it has to be because. If you listen to the mini episode, you know that I've been in the state of Washington working on a movie, and I've been in a hotel room, and I am still in that same fucking hotel room in Issaquah, Washington, that I was in over 4 weeks ago, almost 5 weeks ago when I did the little mini episode. But I'm happy to report that tomorrow is the last day of the shoot that I am working on. So I wanted to get this episode done before I go back to Portland, and my life is just kind of crazy because our house is on the market. It's for sale, and we actually kind of have an offer, our first offer that came in today. So when I'm done with this, I got to talk to my wife, and we got to figure out what we're going to do with that. And then once the ball gets rolling on that, you know, we gotta find a new place to live, and we're moving an hour south of the city, and I gotta make a career change, and I gotta navigate just this whole new fucking life that I got. And the only consistent thing that I'm gonna have in a creative manner is this podcast. And I don't want to lose it, and I don't want it to become a burden or a job or feel like a job. So I'm going to keep it real casual, and I'm going to do it when I can do it. And yeah, it's going to be hopefully two shows a month for a while, because, you know, I love doing it, and I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you like some of the little changes I'm going to make in the coming episodes. But yeah, that being said, I don't know. Let's get into what we always get into, I guess. Now that I'm back and kind of doing this, if you listen to the first 52 episodes, you know I like to do the top five cities that have listened to the last episode the most. I'm not gonna do that this time. I don't know if I'm gonna do it very much at all anymore. I might give a little update on who's been listening the most overall, but the numbers are just, the sources of the numbers are so sketchy and not full. It doesn't paint a full enough picture for me to put it out there like it's, you know, the truth or something, because I really don't think it tells the whole story. So no top five, sorry. Portland, Oregon, you're still number one. Winchester, Virginia, you're still number two in terms of all time listenership. So we'll just leave it at that. So let's get into what I have been listening to, and we got about a month's worth here, and I'm going to make it real quick, cause I'm leaving some stuff out, but let's say, Sturgill Simpson has a new album out called Ballad of Dude and Juanita on High Top Mountain Records, which I believe is his own record label. And it's a bluegrass, concept album. Story of Dude and Juanita, who I think Dude is his grandpa or great grandpa or something, and Juanita is his grandma or great grandma or whatever. Good record if you like Sturgill Simpson. Lord has a new record out called Solar Power on Universal. I'm a Lord fan. This album, I guess, has been touted as like some, I don't know, like change of form for her because it's happier or some shit. And all I can say is the visuals that I've seen are happier and sunnier, and she's like wearing bathing suits and shit. And but the music without the visuals still seems very like the same to me. Like it's still like this kind of brilliant, almost dark pop. I like it. I like the new record by Lord. And in the same vein, Halsey has a new record. If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power on UMG Recordings, with that provocative cover with her, you know, boob hanging out and stuff. But she's a great songwriter, just like Lord. Like she's got great lyrics and she's got great content, and I really like her music. So, check out the new Halsey record if you're into that shit. And the last few things that I've been listening to, I've really, really, really been into, like these three artists, and I can't even pinpoint it to just certain albums. It's just like the bands in general. I'm just so stoked on. I've been telling everyone I know about them. And if you know me and you know when I get excited about something, you will get a random text from me. Like, you haven't talked to me in months and you'll just get a random text from me like, dude, you gotta fucking check this band out, or you gotta check this fucking album out, because I'm that excited about it. I just gotta tell everyone. And these three artists have been doing that for me in the last month. The first is Turnstile. They're a hardcore band from Baltimore. They have a new album on Roadrunner Records called Glow On. And you know, they're hardcore. They're a hardcore band. I'm not familiar with their earlier stuff. I only know this album. And if this is progressive hardcore, I like the way it's going, because they're not like the, I don't know. I grew up going to tough guy hardcore shows and stuff like that. But they embrace pop elements in a very clever way, with maintaining that kind of hardcore aesthetic. But I feel like they've done a very good job of songwriting. They've written a whole album of good songs that are pretty accessible and really fun. So it's kind of blowing up. Like a lot of people are talking about this record. And some people, I'm sure, hate it, that are hardcore purists or whatever the fuck. But it's just good songwriting, I think. So check out Turnstile, Glow On. Amel and the Sniffers, this Australian band, I think it's their third full length, just came out, called Comfort to Me on ATO Records, I believe. Yeah, they're getting kind of big, but rightfully so. I mean, amazing band. And the front the front person, the lead singer, her name is Amy. If you watch any of the videos they put out, and they got a lot of videos. I don't know if they're doing a video for every single song off the new record. It kind of seems that way. But I like what they're doing because the band just really lays back and chills, doesn't really do anything, and she's just going ape shit the whole time. And she's got a really unique voice. Her lyrics are amazing. I love her perspective. And she's got great dance moves. So check out Amyl. That's A-M-Y-L and the Sniffers. Really, really good rock and roll with definitely a punk edge. I mean, they're pretty much a punk band, but it's kind of hard to call them just a straight up punk rock band because they kind of do a little bit, I guess, more. Whatever the fuck that means. And the last one is a local Portland band called Rose City Band. Now, you'd think I'd know a lot about this band or have been familiar with them since their inception, but I'm just not. I've only known about them for about a month. And to my knowledge, it's essentially one guy who was in a band called Wooden Ships from the Bay. But this is the kind of band that I could see myself being in now. Like, I've been in a country band before, but at my age, I'm almost 41, this band kind of encapsulates the overall fucking vibe that I am just in tune with. This is the music I gravitate towards now more than anything. It's like the way I was with hardcore and hardcore punk when I was a teenager. It's the same, that sound that I just gravitate towards because it's done so well and so perfectly. It's basically 7-8 minute long country songs, but with like a jam aesthetic. I mean, it's just great musicianship, great playing, great songwriting. It's very low key, very chill. But the songs still feel like they're 2-3 minutes long because they just flow so well. It's just like this great vibe. So I've been into their self-titled record and their second record called Summerlong. And they have a third album coming out soon that they've released a couple singles off of, all on Thrill Jockey Records. Can't recommend Rose City Band enough. Definitely check them out. And that's the music I've been listening to. I've been listening a lot to a podcast called Legends of the Old West. And it's just a lot of Old West stories, legends, obviously. It tells the stories of the OK Corral. It tells the stories of, Wyatt Earp, Red Cloud. I'm listening to the 5 or 6 part series on Jesse James, stuff like that, man. But it kind of dispels a lot of myths and kind of brings the truth of the legends that were printed, you know. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of goofy when they break down the veil of, I guess, what is now kind of Hollywood smoke and mirrors, and kind of tell you this the real story of how these infamous things went down and how these infamous people actually were. It's really cool, kind of American history stuff. And the name of the host is eluding me, and I can't seem to find it right now. But it's Legends of the Old West, done really well. And there's really cool interviews with historians and local people, like the mayor. They do a whole thing on the OK Corral, so they talk to the mayor of Tombstone and the town historian and shit like that. It's just cool things about the American West. So Legends of the Old West, give it a listen if you're into that stuff. So that is what I have been listening to. Now let's get into the exhumed excerpt from The Tomb of the Promulgated. This week I've got a story from 1979 in Florida, Auburndale, Florida, actually, where police officer Guthrie Knorr says he now believes in the, quote, possibility of other life forms, unquote, after he and a fellow officer spotted five brightly colored disc-shaped objects streaking through the skies around 2 a.m. March 27th. They weren't shooting stars. They were in an old V formation with two on one side and three on the other. One of them was bigger than the others, he said. Nor an officer John Knapp spotted the, quote, rapidly moving yellow-orange objects, unquote, east of the city moving along the horizon real fast in a northwest direction. They made no sound. The officers said they were amazed at the speed of the objects. Shortly after the sighting, a citizen told police he spotted five streaking objects near the city. Another police officer in a different section of Florida shares Officer Knorr's observation. He said, I believe in UFOs. I am now convinced we are observed by outside beings, said Sheriff's Department Deputy Mike Young of Key West. On April 17th, Young and Auxiliary Deputy Bill Thomas were patrolling on U.S. 1 near the Boca Chica Bridge. Thomas spotted the object first and concluded that it was not flying, but hovering. Young disagreed. It's just a light craft, explaining that that because the car was traveling 55 miles per hour, the aircraft just looked as if it were standing still. An optical illusion, he said. I thought it was a plane from the Naval Air Station. When the plane shifted to a spot directly above the car at approximately 600 feet, Young said he could see strobe lights in a perfect triangular shape. The craft continued to keep pace with the car, compelling Thomas to explain, Mike, the damn thing is still hovering. Young stopped the car and rolled down the window and said the lack of sound was a shock. He said, it was dead quiet. No nothing. As the objects started to pass them, Young said he turned his vehicle around, and in the 15 seconds it took to do so, the UFO was 30 miles away and appeared as nothing but a distant light in the sky. So there you go. That is the exhumed excerpt from the Tomb of the Promulgated. Again, more police officers seeing strange things in the sky in the middle of the night. They're out there, hours of the night. Most people aren't, so they see some weird stuff. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got for the exhumed excerpt. So I do a lot of, UFO sightings for the exhumed excerpts, but I'm going to start branching out. I'm going to start trying to do more cryptid sightings and just make it a more well-rounded segment of the show. I didn't do that tonight, but who gives a shit? I'll do it next time. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll have a different story next time. Or a different kind of story. So that's it for that. Let's get into this discussion I had with my friend Freiberger. Now, I've known Freiberger for a long time, just playing music. He lives in Seattle. We get into his bands, what they're doing. I know him from all sorts of bands, but he's currently in a band called Death Cave, and they're going on tour soon. I'll post links to all this stuff on the website, but he also talks about what's going on with them and, the fact that they're hitting the road pretty soon. But we are here tonight to discuss his experiences with psychedelics, and more specifically, the entities that he has come into contact with while high on these psychedelics, mainly things that he calls tree spirits, or, you know, we could say that they are elves, maybe tree elves. So that's the bulk of our discussion tonight. So give it a listen. And I hope you enjoy it, man. Here's me and Freiberger.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I just had it turned down on the old earphone. Okay.
Sick.
What's going on, man?
How you doing, Freiberger?
Good, dude. Just been finishing off the rest of these flyers for tour.
Oh yeah, Death Cave tour.
Yeah, I think it's gonna happen.
Well, you know, we'll see. I feel like everyone is in this weird, because I'm not in a band right now that's touring or anything, but I feel for everyone that's trying, because it seems like it's exhausting.
Yeah. Well, it's for December, so I'm feeling a little hopeful in that regard.
Right. Yeah, I feel like that's what people were saying last December about this December. You know what I mean? It's hard to gauge. People are getting it in while they can. I know that much.
Well, Delta like started and hit the hardest in UK, and UK is like wide open and just had like a 300,000 person festival. So I feel like, you know, who knows what'll happen? Like, is that they got good again? You know, Delta just hit hard and then kind of went away.
Yeah, you just hope that big festival didn't ruin it for the next festival,
right? Create a new variant or some shit. But who knows?
Who knows?
Nobody. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that you just gotta try to listen to scientists.
Yeah, right? Man. I know. It's just, I haven't been to a show. I haven't played a show. I don't know. I just hope people are being safe. And I know live music is obviously very important. It's like a lot of our friends, it's their fucking living, man. Like, they got to get out there. They got to play.
Totally.
Do it. It's just like, you just can't make records and hope that it's, you know, going to sell a billion copies, because it's not, most likely. You got to get out there and hit the road, and it's,
gotta get out there, man.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
So much about music is the live performance and connecting with the audience, you know?
Absolutely. but we're let's just get into this real quick. We can save it to the end, but where's Death Cave going on tour?
It'll be Seattle, Portland, Oakland, Santa Cruz, Fullerton, Long Beach, San Diego, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah,
nice.
San Francisco, and Sacramento.
Oh, you're cutting back over. Yeah, that's a nice loop. That's like the loop I pretty much have done my whole life. That's like,
it's my favorite West Coast loop, man, because I fucking love that. I love the Four Corners. Yeah, Boise or Reno. It just so happened that it was like on a Monday, and I just like,
right,
fucking booking a Monday in Reno right now is pretty hard. I got like the number one booker and the number one active band on board, and nothing came about it. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm not gonna like try harder than this. You know what I mean? It's like, fucking my old guitar player from Throne of Bone lives in Reno. It's like, we'll just hang out with him on a day off, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just got to take it. Sometimes it's more fun that way, honestly.
It's fucking 13 days with only one day off. Like,
right. That's perfect.
It'll be nice. It'll be nice to have that day for sure.
Absolutely, man. I hope it all goes well, and I hope it actually happens for real. And I hope everyone's safe when you guys are out there, because it's no fucking,
me too. Joke. Well, we're not playing with people who aren't vaccinated, and we're not playing at clubs that don't take this shit seriously. So it's
good.
It's, you know, nice to know we're in company of others who actually give a fuck, you know?
Right. No, that's great, man. I think that's the way to do it. So hopefully, yeah, it all goes down, and hopefully more people get vaccinated, and it's less of a problem, really.
That's the thing. I think, you know, if people just get vaccinated, it'll be fine. It's just,
yeah, over time, absolutely.
Convincing fools that,
yeah, I don't know what more you need.
Mind control, fucking make you into a communist, but I don't know.
Right. No, well, Before I go completely off the deep end on a huge rant, because I do every day on the unvaccinated, let's talk about mind control a little bit in a different sense. We are here tonight. Thank you for joining me, by the way. This is my first time back in a couple months, so I'm glad you're here with me. Let's talk about drugs and psychedelic drugs.
I've been a connoisseur of such for really quite a long time.
Well, I'm curious. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was like, well, I'm no like scientific expert. I definitely am like, you know, I have fractal vision as right. like, you know, one of my attributes. You know, if I were to put together a card of everything you get when it comes with me, it's the fact that I can see into other dimensions and such.
Fuck, man. But I mean, do you have to be on drugs to do it?
Yeah. Yes. But because I've done so much drugs, it doesn't take much for my imagination to really go off the deep end sober. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time completely dead sober. Because ever since I gave up drinking 6.5 years ago, I've made it a point of not letting anything else like control me. You know what I mean? It's like, since I've given up caffeine and cigarettes, which were another thing that like I just relied on too heavily, you know? Right. And it's like, ever since then, it's like my main vice is like weed and then psychedelics, you know? So it's like when I smoke a lot of, you know, I smoke all the time, but I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Because I do shit all the time and it like helps me kind of stay sane, even though I do take some drugs for my mental health to keep me kind of right, you know?
Right.
I like, you know, doctor prescribed, not like self-prescribed. Oh,
some like
drugs.
Western medicine stuff.
Little bit, yeah. I have
nothing wrong with
extreme,
that.
I have extreme mania and really, really bad depression. So I like, you know, to keep me balanced out a little bit. Keeps me from having those extremes on either end.
Right. And okay, so when it comes to the psychedelics, because that's what we're going to focus on. And I'm curious, I'd like to tie that back into the mania and some other things about mental health with this later. But you mentioned when you're sober, it doesn't take much for you to go off the deep end with your imagination to kind of get to where you go when you're on psychedelics, possibly. So when you're on psychedelics, I've tried to approach this question with a few guests on a few different kinds of psychedelics, but do you think where you go when you are high, and I'm using air quotes for high, on psychedelics, do you think it's your imagination or a hallucination or a hybrid of like reality in another dimension with and imagination, or where do you think you go?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look into the like the scientific aspect, and you know, people who spent their entire life studying the like connection between psychedelics and like brain function and like all this other stuff, you know, it's like you can look at that side, but to me it's more like, I guess, just how it frees all your ego. It frees, you know, it like cuts everything to the driest form and lets you see things without like any part of your reality affecting it. You know what I mean? It's like seeing it with just the purest form of like thought or reality. You know, it's like when people have bad trips because they're like, you know, confronted with their own demons or whatever, like some people can't handle that shit. But I've always like really enjoyed that. And, you know, when I go through like extreme changes in life, I've always like, you know, when I break up with a long-term ex or, you know, bands break up or whatever, like I like to go to the woods and I like to overdose on hallucinogens. And it like really helps me kind of like figure out what, you know, it's like as things, you know, we go through these big changes, it's really nice to get the clarity without like feeling or perspective on like what you should be doing with your time, life, like how to better yourself as a human. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's really easy to find those moments when you're able to like shed, like I was saying, like all kind of like all ego, all, you know, passion, all like thoughts, all background on things, you know, it's just like get rid of it all and just see things kind of in their purest form.
So it's kind of like a reset button for
a little bit. It's not so much a reset, but I feel like it just like helps you remember, you know what I mean? Like
put yourself you know, back like, together, like literally remember. Yeah.
Like remember when fucking, Mufasa is telling, you know, like when he's up in the clouds trying to tell Simba, you know, it's just like, remember who you are. Like that for some reason echoes through my head a lot when I tend to go off the deep end on hallucinogens. And it's just like one of those things that it just, again, I don't want to say reset, but it helps realign, I guess, like, what's actually important and what is maybe just a waste of time, energy, thought, money, whatever else, right. You know?
Right. Yeah. Because it's interesting to think when you go and you go into the woods like that and overdose, as you say, on hallucinogens, and you rethink everything that you've been doing, not that it was a waste of time, but it's like, who are you now? And I'm more curious, like, what are you trying to get back to? Because you started taking hallucinogens at a pretty young age. Am I wrong about that?
Well, extremely young. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like my first time was, you know, with my parents and a shaman in the New Mexico desert. So it's like, kind of from a younger, you know, and that was very, very small dosage, but it was just like one of those, like, opened my mind from a young age to things. And like, once I got a little bit older, I took a bunch of mushrooms and like had a really, really intense trip at a pretty young age. And that was actually the first time I saw those elves or tree spirits.
Yeah, we're going to get like into that.
Whatever you want to call them. I always call them like tree spirits. I always like that. You know, like I said, the first thing I ever saw that kind of like tied into what I experienced in my own hallucinogenic trip was the anime Princess Mononoke. I think I was a freshman in high school when that came out in America. And I remember watching it and just like, jaw drop, you know. I just like, what the fuck, like I've seen these guys, you know what I mean, like inside right. of the forest or whatever, right. And it was just like kind of like blew my mind to see this. And I was just like, you know, it made me really curious on if this is kind of like more of a thing or just kind of like a coincidence, I guess, right. I did get him like tattooed on me as a little teenager, little Kodamas,
the Princess Mononoke version.
Yes, correct.
You got tattooed on you. So when you were in New Mexico with your folks, you were how old?
Let's see.
And what did you do? What did you do? Mushrooms? Was it a small dose of mushrooms?
Peyote.
Peyote. What? Okay.
And I was 11.
11. And when you did your own dose by yourself and you saw your first experience with the tree spirits, how old were you and where were you?
I was 12 and I was in Alaska, where I'm from, in Fairbanks.
And you it was mushrooms that you did that time.
Yes, they were Cubensies were the first ones I had.
Damn. Okay. So by age 12, you've done peyote, a small dose of peyote, and then you did your mushroom trip by yourself in Alaska.
I tried, you know, I'd already been smoking cigarettes and tried cigarettes and stuff. You know, in Alaska, there's Arctic entryways, which are it gets really cold there, so you don't want the cold air to hit the inside of your establishment or whatever. So it's like you got one entryway, you go in, the door shuts, and then you go in through another one, so that, you know, it's like takes seconds to cool a place down when it's 20 to 60 below zero.
Damn.
But okay. In a lot of the bars around town, they would keep cigarette vending machines and just like those Arctic entryways. So it was like, made it really easy to just be a scumbag kid and just go and buy,
get some, you know, cigarettes.
You got $3, go chew yourself a pack of smokes.
So I'm not super familiar with your background, but your cultural background. So if you were 11 and you did peyote with your folks, like because I've read in doing research for this episode where in Mexico, I think it was in Oaxaca, I don't know exactly who or where in Oaxaca, but they were giving children as young as 3 mushrooms, and it was a rite of passage, basically out of being a toddler into basically being a child.
It's kind of the same with most indigenous cultures. I feel like it's not really that young, but I feel like a lot of times when they're like, you know, like around puberty, like the coming of age, like,
right, 'cause I was thinking 3, you know, is really fucking young.
Dude, I don't know, man. It's like, I mean, maybe there's a reason why, like, you know, that like Siam Reap had like a million people in advanced technology and then they all disappeared or something. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, there's got to be something deeper to this.
Right.
You know?
I'm not judging one way or the other, but my son turns 3 on Sunday and I could not imagine giving him mushroom tea and like, all right, son, it's time. You gotta
to learn your language. Yeah. It's like, you got this, buddy.
But in a way I respect that, because I mean, there's more to life, and we're going to get into, I mean, there's more to life than just like this physical body and what we see. And there's a lot of cultures that have a very long history of all of these spirits and interaction with these spirits. And it's, I'm just saying.
In almost every band I've been in, I've written songs where I reference forgotten magic. And that's what I like to refer to, like things that, you know, like cosmic forces, why you could feel someone's energy and look towards them. You know what I mean? It's at the same time, you know, from like across the field, like, you know, there's like a lot of things that can't be explained. And I like to refer to all that shit as forgotten magic, because it's these magical forces that can't be explained, and not everything should or has to be explained.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's forgotten, like, magic, lost rhetoric, you know?
That's what, you know, man is constantly searching to know everything because they're scared of what they don't know, you know?
But it seems like we did know and we forgot, and we're trying to get back to what we know. And maybe that's what hallucinogens are, but, or are lending themselves to us to rediscover what we've forgotten culturally, historically,
or help, you know, bring people cosmically back, you know, back to respecting nature, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, 'cause we all have those moments when you trip and you're just like, oh man, like, this is so important, like this bush, this tree, like this water, you know, it's like, fuck the city, you know, it's like, and when you're like in the cities, you know, when you're a little kid and you're like, you know, by when I'm a little kid, I mean like tween, you know, like those coming of age years. And you do a bunch of mushrooms and then you have those crazy trips where you're just like, oh, fuck, you know, like, this sucks, you know what I mean? It's just like, why am I in the city? Like, I just want to be like out. And I mean, it's like, but I've also like spent my entire life in places that have like extremely awesome nature. You know, I lived in Alaska my entire childhood. I spent 3 years in Colorado. And then when I was just turned 19, I moved here to Seattle. You know, that was almost 18 years ago. So I've been really blessed with my mountainous
And
forested areas.
And I've been telling everyone I know, because I'm in Issaquah right now at a hotel, and I've been here for basically 6 weeks. And I've been in North Bend and Snoqualmie and all these amazingly gorgeous areas that I had no fucking clue were basically 25 minutes from Seattle.
Yeah. So North Bend's like the go-to spot there, you know, up around there. Is a bunch of lakes on top of the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
You could climb all up through them. So there's like hundreds of waterfalls. It's like there's a million trails through there. So it's like really easy to, was really easy. I mean, things have gotten a little weird this last couple of years with tourists, but you know, it's like pretty crazy the amount of beauty that you could find, under an hour drive away from Seattle. So
absolutely. I had no idea, man. So you're everyone in Seattle that I've ever talked shit about Seattle. I now consider you guys very lucky, because there's so much beauty around you. And Seattle is great. Don't get me wrong.
No, totally. I get what you mean. I mean, it's like every city has its own thing. Like I'm from Alaska. So I've always like, mentally associated better with like people from Philly than Seattle, you know what I mean? But it's like Seattle's full of all type of people. Just because there are a bunch of like hippie wimps around here doesn't mean that that's how everyone is, you know what I mean? It's just like everywhere, like just because that the niche of your area doesn't mean that that's the type of people, you know what I mean? You just surround yourself with good people, no matter where you are, you'll find good people, you know?
Amen, as they say. Yeah, man, for sure. And I don't know if you've experienced these tree spirits. This is something we can get into in Seattle or around Seattle or in Washington or ever again after your trip when you were 11. But I'm really curious, because that's going to be the bulk of the conversation tonight. It's going to be about these entities.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's been actually a few more times where I've seen things, and there's been a couple times where I was kind of like on purpose trying to, you know what I mean? Where it's like, so I went to the whole rainforest with one of those like automatic DMT pens, for example, and I went to my favorite tree inside the Hall of Moss, which is just like where all these ancient trees dwell with big old mossy beards on them, and you know, I was just like, I'm going to hit this DMT pen here and see what happens, you know, and it's just like, I don't know if it was just my self-fulfilling fantasy, but definitely found a little creature, cosmic creature.
Okay, well, let's, maybe we can
creatures.
Maybe we can do a chronology of the Freiburger, like elf sightings, because I've been reading a lot about, elves that appear in psychedelic hallucinations, and it seems to run the gamut of they appear in when you're tripping on mushrooms, on DMT, on ayahuasca, and it seems to be traditionally.
That's the thing. So that's kind of like how I have experienced them through DMT, ayahuasca, and
all of them.
Mushrooms. But I've only seen them on mushrooms when I was really, really young. I haven't seen them on mushrooms since.
Okay, so describe these elves or tree. You call them tree spirits?
I like to. So they don't really. It's hard to really explain.
Or I guess describe.
So have your you seen the Marvel movie with that character who's like going in and out of existence? How she can like get through walls or whatever, like ghost.
Yeah.
Anyway, it kind of like that. It's kind of like creature that kind of flickers in and out of existence,
like the Predator.
But you could, you know, I mean, Predator, you could see like a little water-like resemblance. I'm talking about like kind of there and then not there.
Okay.
But yeah, so a little bit like Predator, but I guess a little bit more like wavy and sporadic.
Okay.
Completely white. Broken up. There's a lot of shapes and figures, but it doesn't really, I couldn't draw it, if that makes sense. So anyway, when I was little, there was a bunch of these kind of like creatures all little different sizes around all the black spruce and birch trees that are in Alaska. Like, not big old boys, you know, these are just little trees about this big that are thick and everywhere, except for the birch. The birch are a little bit bigger, but those are Alaska trees for you. You know, it's just thick and small and abundant. Okay. Why they catch on fire all the time. Those were the creatures then, and they were, again, like small, very like confusing, like something that like I was watching while not indirected watching and just kind of got lost in while high, you know, those moments where you're like, am I high? I don't know if I'm high. And you just kind of sit there and stare and you're like, I'm fucking super high. You know what I mean? It's like, it's yeah. Like, whoa, it's like, oh, this is crazy. And it was just kind of like one of those moments where I just kind of like got lost in a trance. And then when I like went back to trying to look at them and like see them or whatever, like, you know, after I went to go try to find my friend, I wasn't able to see him again. It was only that one time. For maybe like, time is such an irrelevant thing while you're high. maybe like 10 minutes of kind of like zoning out. You know what I mean? Like a good chunk of time. You know what I mean? Right. It was enough to like really stand out after, you know, sobering up, you know, something that withstood mushy brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, like about a year later, I saw the Princess Mononoke that had like little tree spirits animated. And it was just like, that's fucking crazy. Cause those things are very similar to like the things I had. And it was like, I assumed they were associated with the trees and they were. And so, you know, like, that's fucking crazy. You know what I mean? It's just like time goes on. And then shortly after I moved to Seattle, I went back home. And a friend of mine had kind of become like a white shaman person.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, growing all these like, you know, peyote cactuses and like his own ayahuasca roots and like all this like stuff to make DMT and like,
mm-hmm.
you know, he basically had like all these aquariums of stuff to like, and, you know, made all those like 2CB and all those other weird ass synthetic hallucinogen things.
Right.
Which was fun. I took a bunch one night that Wilco played in town, and then they ended up coming to the party, and everyone at the party took 2CB or whatever. We around a huge fire with Wilco.
Dude. I did. Oh, man, that's a great story. Like, I would love to hear that.
But so it was me and this buddy, and he, basically like it took this, gave me like, so I took one like psilocybin, just like a tiny little mushroom. And then I did like the ayahuasca and just like flipped out. You know what I mean? Like kind of like lost my mind, lost where I was, lost the dimension, talked to God for a while,
mm-hmm.
Came out. And that's kind of like, when you're that high, it's really hard to tell what's what. But I was seeing like little creatures similar to what I kind of like saw before, and was just kind of like freaking out on the fact that I was just like, no fucking way. Like reoccurring hallucinogenic things are kind of like weird, right?
Like a recurring character.
Yeah. It's kind of like those like reoccurring nightmares you have with the same fucking whatever the fuck, you know, it's like everyone right. has their own version of the boogeyman in their dreams. You know, I feel like most people do anyway. That really like stuck with me kind of hard. And, you know, that was by the time the internet was a little bit more, a useful tool, mm-hmm. not nearly what it is today, but it was a little bit more, you know, let's say, like, for lack of a better word, 2006.
Right.
You know, MySpace was still a thing, you know, like, but I could look up information, and that's when I found out, like, you know, like, hallucinogenic drugs and, like, indigenous, like, cultures elsewhere have, like, had little, like, tree spirits and stuff, and it, like, kind of, like, blew my mind a little bit that this was, like, actually a thing, and that, like, I felt kind of, like, privileged that I got to, like, see these things. And I've always kind of written about nature and its forgotten magics and all these things, and I've been in a lot of bands that have been doom influenced since I was a little kid, and, you know, I feel like most of the content of doom is kind of about nature, you know what I mean? It's like going back to nature, you know what I mean? It's like all these things about how, like, the world is doomed to die because technology and all this shit's taking over. But, I mean, you know, it's just like, but the poetic side of it, you know, like, I like to talk about, like, mountains dying and things like that. And, you know, sad subjects.
Well, do you think?
Oh, sorry. I got off the subject. Let me finish. And then the very last one was when I was in the Ho Rainforest and I did the DMT pen thing, and I was able to, but I mean, it's like almost here in Washington on the peninsula, the Ho Rainforest.
Okay. And you saw him for a third time.
Yes. But that time it was a little different. You know, those were a little bit more like fractal galaxy creatures, but
like the Terrence McKenna machine elf style.
Maybe, I still, when I think machine elf, I don't know what the hell that means.
It's kind of confusing because when I look up Terrence McKenna's description of machine elves, they're also called fractal elves, which fractal and machine don't really seem like two things that are the same to me.
That is funny though about the fract, because I used to always call it fractal vision when you go into like the deep end of like hallucinogens, where it's just like you can't tell what is what and what is this repeats of what you've seen. Like, kind of, you know what I mean? I call that the entering that realm fractal vision. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like a thing until I like Googled it like recently after taking way too many whippets while doing acid and mushrooms at the same time, and could just like couldn't stop like saying like fractal vision. Like, yeah, it's just like, you know, while everyone else is trying to go to bed, I'm just like doing whippets in bed and giggling and saying fractal vision. Repeat.
Oh my god, I think I've had fractal vision once in my life, and it was amazing. It was actually amazing.
Yeah, you got to go kind of hard to get it. And the thing is, when you get it, it comes with going hard, which means you got to go to the nether realms of reality. You might get stuck in a loop and think that you die. A lot of times that happens, and that's what scares a lot of people, is those scary loops.
Well, it's, but psychedelics are scary. Good. They can be. And if when you come up, when you, and
they are, I've done them maybe like 700 times in my life, and I'm still like scared of them. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a weird thing, you know. There's like times where you question reality, and like it's easy to get a little bit lost at times. That's why it's nice to try to find a balance.
Yeah, I can see, because I am in no way a psychonaut. If anyone who's listened to this show, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who are on a journey, on a path or something to figure some shit out. I am not that person. I have done psychedelics. I've had some experiences, but I am in no way a weathered psychic warrior or I don't want to say psychic warrior. What's the word I'm looking for? Psychotic? That's not what I'm trying to say at all, Freiberger.
Astronaut?
Yeah, an astronaut. I'm not an astronaut. I'm not a fucking habitual realm seeker, I guess.
So also outer when I was seeker. About 19 or 20, This doesn't have to do with exactly the forest creatures, but it does have to do with fractal creatures. As me, the first time I did DMT, I did it like 28 days in a row or whatever.
Holy
with my
shit.
With my girlfriend at the time, because I was trying to quit smoking cigarettes and things like that. Like,
so that was intentional.
Yeah, so we did it every morning before going to work or doing whatever. We'd go to her bathroom, which had no windows, so it'd be pitch black. We'd just rip it really hard, pitch black. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? It just
then,
like,
then it would get really bright.
Yeah, I mean, it would change a lot when you're in nothing, you know, and it's like through that point, there would be all sorts of like different entities, but, you know, they weren't white creatures. They were definitely like creatures of all color. They sometimes, I guess, like will chirp at you, things like that. But
so you're seeing more entities that are different than the elves that you saw when you were a child.
The tree spirits are different than the, what I could call the little, yeah, the little DMT spirits.
They're different. So you've seen multiple kinds of beings.
Yeah. Like I think the DMT ones are just pieces of yourself in like a little bit of a visual form.
Okay.
Like, I think like your brain can't handle it all. So it like somehow makes it into something you can handle a little bit more.
Gives you a little co-pilot or something.
Yeah. Cause there's been times I was so high where I was just like, I really kind of want to like move this rock. And then I would start doing it. And then I would like notice that like when I changed the look of my face, the rock would change with it. You know, like things like that, where it's just like, oh, that's so cool. You know what I mean? It's like where I like, I feel like I'm controlling this magic, this power, but crap, where was I going? I also have ADHD, so sometimes I talk about something and then forget completely what I was talking about.
Well, I got you a little off track, but you were let's draw a little bit of a line between these elves that you saw on mushrooms and the DMT, like, I guess, entities that you've encountered as well, because there's always, not always, but there always seems to, there seems to be a consistent encounter with some form of being when you're really fucking tripping. And whether it's a piece of yourself, or you're actually somewhere else, or you're in another fucking dimension, or if it's
totally,
or if it's good, or if it's bad, or if it's God, or if it's nature, it's all relevant.
But when you're really high on like acid or like MDMA or you know, mushrooms, like I pretty much have these talks every time. But a lot of times it doesn't come with like a physical entity. You know what I'm saying?
So you don't think they're actually real? Anything you've ever encountered?
No. I absolutely do. I just think that you can't see them until you're in that weirdo state. Like, again, when the mushrooms, when you eat too much of them, because like each time I've eaten too much, or, you know, the first time and then another time when I overdosed on mushrooms, where it's just like, I keep saying overdose because I black out, you know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
I get so high that I fall asleep. And then I get stuck in like a circle for like hour, and then I'm like wake up and I'm able to come back to reality.
Is it a fairy circle that you're stuck in by chance?
No, a circle meaning that
you know what I'm talking like about with you, these fairy circles.
I don't know what you're talking about. What I'm talking about is like a caught in a loop or a circle. So where you like look at your friend and then it'll be like, "You doing okay?" He's like, "Oh, I thought you were." Like looking, and then you look right, and then you look down, and then you look back up, and your friend's like, "Oh, are you okay?" And then you just kind of keep doing the exact same thing, except for you're watching it happen the whole time. And right. You know, when you get
that cold, happened to me one time on acid, where
it's pretty rough, especially the first time, you know what I mean? It's like it's a very kind of scary place because you know, I mean, it's scary no matter how many times it happens, but right. Because it's like you literally feel like, oh, fuck, did I die? Is this the last thing I did before I died? Am I just reliving the last thing I did?
Absolutely.
A bunch until, like, you know, that last, like, split second of brain that you have to function as it slowly dies, like, reliving the last thought, you know, like a Twilight Zone or Black Mirror episode, you know? It's like, that again, it's like no matter how many times I've done these things, it's like those still happen and they're still scary and they're still, like, a really hard thing. But yeah, it's like because when you think you die, it really puts into perspective what is important and what you actually like.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times when you go that far or that hard, the next day you'll, like, want to call the people you really love and tell them how much you love them. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those things where you're just like,
yeah,
you know, like shit, I need to focus more time on these. Well,
it's almost like an NDE, man. It's almost like a near death experience. And like you kind of explained a couple things that happened to me, my first and only really intense acid trip over 20 years ago. All of that shit happened the same night. It was crazy. But yeah, back to the fairy ring that I was talking about. I was actually looking into fairy rings, which are mushrooms that grow in a circle. There's this whole thing I was finding, the connections between just elves and fairies and mushrooms, whether you see them on mushrooms or just that they're connected in art and folklore, and the fact that when you run into a perfect circle of mushrooms in nature, it's called a fairy ring or an elf ring or a pixie ring. But it's just, that's just the way they grow. The mycelia in the ground just kind of like forms that way, you know? But there's all these myths about the fairy rings and what happens if you, like, what creates them. And if a human, you can fall into them and never come out, and you can be trapped there forever. Shit like that. Like, I'm sure if you were fucking stoned or like super like high on any fucking hallucinogen and you run into a fairy ring of mushrooms for real, that might be either really cool or really scary. I don't really know. But
there's only one way to find out.
If it's on fire, maybe stay away from it. I don't know. But so I want to ask your experience, whether it's on mushrooms or DMT, whether it's kind of the more elfish or whatever DMT entities that you're seeing. By and large, is it a positive experience or is there some negativity?
Super positive. Again, that's why in Alaska, when I was kind of like overdosing, I was just like kind of lost in a trance. Like, it was like, not like I didn't feel threatened at all. Okay. It was just more like, it's a very peaceful thing. Like, again, it seemed like it was just like, you could see like the emotions of a fucking tree, you know what I mean? It's just like in a physical form, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's really hard to, I guess, explain in words, but just
do you think they're of nature? Do you think it is?
Yeah, of course. It just, again, it seems like, you know, why it would be more relevant when you're like, you know, feel like you're close to death from a mushroom trip, or when you take DMT, which is triggered when you're close to death, to be able to see, I feel like, these things that, you know, again, forgotten magics or whatever. Like, I do think trees are very, you know, the oldest creatures on earth, like, fucking provided life, you know, like, they've just got a lot to them, you know what I mean? It's just like, some of them live for hundreds and hundreds of years, and to think that, you know, a tree has a spirit and like you could see its spirits like form when you're in that state doesn't seem too crazy to me. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, we wouldn't be alive without trees, you know what I mean? It's just like, that's like the brass tacks of like how this environment works. Like, it needs trees to survive. Trees are like, just such a fundamental part of existence.
Yeah, I mean, it's Earth. It's Earth 101. You know,
but I mean, just to think that it's just a piece of wood, and you know, it's like when you start to think that trees have emotions, and you know, when you get really high, even if you don't see entities or the, you know, like what I think is probably like the essence of the tree, or what the, you know, the spirit of the tree, like you still feel something from trees when you're right. really high in nature. You feel a presence, you feel a connection to them, you feel something, there's something there. And that's why, to me, it's not that crazy of an idea or an aspect that, yeah, these trees have a living form or an entity or like emotion or feeling in a way to describe that other than just like dying slowly or something. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just, again, I could file that one under the forgotten magics. You know, it just seems that like, you know, as people need to know everything, they've cast aside the fact that maybe trees do have like a spirit or
right. So do you think this, the elves or the spirits are trying to teach you a lesson, or they're just trying to say, hey man, we're basically a human form of this tree, just letting you know we're alive and you should care about us? Or are they trying to like really bring a lesson home? And if so, what's the lesson?
I feel like a little bit, and I think that it's just mainly remembering your connection to nature. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like the further we grow as a species away from nature, I feel like it's like, you know, it's like more of a thing that kind of dies off. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those things that kind of like without, I don't know, like respect all around. It just seems like, I guess it is like trying to, I guess, teach people to respect nature and remember where you come from and, you know, don't abuse everything.
Right.
You know, things like that. Okay. You know, it's like there's a reason why people will take mushrooms and become hippies or whatever. You know, it's like, it can awaken your mind to a lot of things that, you know, especially like, you know, like why I feel like those, like there's Trustafarians, you know what I mean? Why I feel like that, you know, like these people who come from a lot of money do drugs and we're just like, fuck all this shit. You know, I want to help the environment and drive, you know what I mean? Like whatever else they do, like, I think that it just like awakens something in you. And again, when you're in the near death realm or whatever, like is the point where you could actually see the physical manifestations of that. But I also think when you're in that point, you get to see physical manifestations of a lot. And I think that's where the elves more come into play, where I think of the tree ones as more of tree spirits, where I think the elves are more of like either pieces of yourself or lessons that somehow manifest into a physical form.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like when I've communicated them, it wasn't in like English or anything, you know what I mean? Where I've like okay. read where some people are like, say like, follow me, do this. Like I've done a lot of DMT and I've never spoken with any of these things, but I've communicated with them every time.
Right.
So it's not like English or anything. It's more just like weird noises and like an understanding of what is trying to be said or done. You know, it's just like, again, can like open your eyes. You know, why some people hate this is because they'll, you know, like try to forget this terrible thing I did, you know, instead of right. like, remember well, this terrible thing you did. And like, I'm going to make you think about it over and over and over until you learn how to confront it and learn how to like accept it and move on or whatever, you know?
Well, I read about this guy, James Kent, who says he's encountered DMT elves, and he's managed to have quote rudimentary conversations of sorts with them. And he says that he's tested whether they could reveal to him any information that he himself would be incapable of knowing. And they never,
bless you. Oops, bless lost you. My headset. Sorry.
There you go. But, he basically asked them to reveal info to him that he wouldn't know, and they couldn't do it. So it's a manifestation of himself. It's all him. He's not encountering anything outside of himself.
That's kind of exactly what I'm trying to say. Like, they're pieces of yourself, or like elements of yourself, you know, like things that you necessarily can't come to terms with or accept or, you know, learn the lesson from or whatever until they're like in a physical form kind of addressing you or whatever. But have you ever done DMT?
You know, what's funny is I don't think I have. I've talked about this on the show multiple times. I don't think I have, but I did do what I thought was salvia, and I got all the effects of everything everyone's ever told me DMT is, which is, you know, a few minutes of like really intense visions. I couldn't stand up. I got knocked on my fucking ass. I was like super happy in a way, but I thought it was 30 seconds and it was minutes. And it was a lot of like, yeah, fractal visions, bright colors, shit like that. But to my knowledge, no, I haven't done DMT.
Yeah, it's just a weird experience. It's kind of, it's hard. It's a really hard thing to do for like a short thing. You know what I mean? It's like mentally taxing. Like, and that's why it was like one of those crazy things when me and my girlfriend at the time decided to try to do like a whole month worth of
a whole month, man. So you did what, February? You did 28 days, the shortest month?
28 days, just 4 weeks worth. I mean, just like a month, you know. Fuck.
So how did you feel the first day you didn't do it?
It was great. It was like almost every day after the first day, it was like, oh, fuck, here we go. Like, I kind of don't want to do this, but we're going to do this.
You committed. So it got hard.
It was hard the whole time. Yeah, it was really hard, but it was really great. I stopped smoking immediately. I lost like 25 pounds, worked out a bunch. Like, it's almost like the best cup of coffee you can have, but it's a really hard cup of coffee to swallow. You know what I mean? It's just, man, like, because you're able, I feel like I was taking care and doing more in those 4 weeks than I probably ever have in a consecutive 4 week time. But it was like really hard mentally. You know, I was like, I grew up pretty gnarly, I guess is a light way to put it. So I always had a lot of depression and a lot of issues that I had to deal with myself, you know, so kind of having to, like, it helped me overcome a lot of things.
The 28 days.
Like, yeah.
Helped you in that
way. You know, it did. Where, like, because it was something that was addressed, I feel, every single time.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, which is, I feel like a lot of my childhood I try to run away from and just pretend it wasn't happening, especially when I moved to Seattle when I was still a teenager. You know what I mean? It's just like, let's just pretend, you know, all this shit wasn't whatever.
Right.
You know, and just like live a cool life, you know, work really hard. I know I'm a hard fucking worker. I always have been. Like, I was raised by two really strong Native American women. Like, you know, they're the most powerful women, people I've ever met, you know? And it was just like, teach you to work really, really hard, you know?
Right.
Be respectful for what you have.
Right. So every day of the 28 days, you were just remembering lessons like that and overcoming shit and...
I mean, it was like not so much remembering the lessons. It was like thinking about the dark times. Like,
okay.
You know, I had to, you know, I don't need to go into it on this, but like just a lot of dark memories that I just like tried to, you know, like suppress and forget is essentially how I did it. I overate. I was 400 pounds in high school because that's how I dealt with it when I was a kid. And then I got really into martial arts, running. riding bikes, shit like that. So, but that was like, you know, there was always some trying to way to just pretend like it wasn't happening, you know? And it's like a big part of like healing and learning to respect and love yourself came with like, I guess, like acknowledging that and moving forward. And, you know, again, a lot of like me losing weight, you know, changing my life, like learning to take it by the horns and all that shit came from hallucinogens, 100%. You know what I mean? And
wow.
Yeah. So those elves definitely know how to steer you in the right direction. And,
so listen to the fucking elves, man. It's like, okay, so these elves, you mentioned how they came up in Princess Mononoke, and they're basically like a normal thing in a way for people under the influence of these drugs.
But there's things on hallucinogens and stuff that are really scary. You know what I mean? But like in no way were these like scary. You know what I mean? It felt like something I was familiar with, but hadn't, you know, like just had never seen, you know, like, and again, I was just kind of like,
well, do you think they were the first guides? Time,
like lost in it.
You think they were guides?
That's the thing. You keep asking if they're guides or lessons or whatever. Like I don't have an exact answer for that. Like more than it just like really opens your mind, like makes you think about these type of things. You know what I mean? It's like, just like when you're a little kid and you have a billion questions and things, you know what I mean? It like remembers when you do this as you get older and stuff, all these like billion questions come back and like I don't know, make you question things, you know what I mean? It's like the mind control of religion or you know whatever. You know, it's like there's all these things that I feel like a lot of people have been able to kind of like let go of them or be able to set themselves free from because of the hallucinogenic powers of like, again, like cutting away your thoughts and just kind of getting like a bare bone perspective on things. But again, it's like, I don't know if they're teaching you things, but you definitely, like when you get to that point, you learn something. And again, it's like when I communicate with the DMT elves, it's not through English or whatever, but it's like, maybe they do like communicate some shit to you that you just can't hear. Yeah. And words, but it's like, again, you gives you a whole new respect for trees and nature, I guess.
Right.
You know, it makes you look at things a little bit differently.
Yeah, man. I mean, McKenna was talking about how like it feels like they're like jumping in and out of your body to him and like excited to see you. And there's all these things that they're basically showing you or teaching you, but it's so overwhelming. But they're trying to be like, don't be overwhelmed, you know. And like Duncan Trussell was talking about his experience with these kind of elves or creatures is like running into a kid on the playground with an IQ of 6,000. Like it's like it's like a childlike playful spirit, but it fucking knows everything. So how do you
know everything? Yeah, I feel like, but again, it's just like being able to address things and look at things yourself without any so much of an ego is not something you could do. Like,
when but is sober. It you? Is when it you? You know, like.
But that's the thing. It's just like, that's why I feel like in its extension of you,
right,
showing the purest form, and which is a way you cannot see otherwise, which makes it feel like a 5-year-old who's infinitely smart because they could tell you the deepest, most things you need to hear about yourself, the universe, or whatever, because you're so attached to your thought on what reality is or what you are as a person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't until I heard someone say that, like, your version of you is only known to you as by yourself, because every single person in your life has a different version of you in their own head. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, absolutely. When you start to think about that, it'll really, like, make you think, you know, like things that make you go,
dude, but, I almost lost my mind in my early mid 20s thinking about that. Like,
oh yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, especially during those years. And that's when I was like doing hallucinogens, like at least once a week, you know, through those years. And it's like, you know, and growing up again, like, you know, half white, half native in a native family. I grew up with a lot of hate, crazy thoughts, you know, like all these like things on what the world is and what the world represents and, you know, white man's religion and what they've done through the history and all this stuff is just like, you know, and when you're doing a lot of hallucinogens while thinking about this, man, you get a little bit lost, you know what I mean? And it's like, I think it's good, but it's also not good to do too much in excess because you get a little too lost in the amount of tangents, I guess, there are to like kind of like think about, especially when you're like thinking about everything going on in the world. You know, if you think too much about everything, you're going to get really, really mucked up because, you know, the world's a pretty dark and terrible place for the most part, you know, and it's just like, you know, and if you're really empathetic and, you know, like someone who can like care about everyone around you, you know, that really will start to eat you alive, you know, when you start thinking about everything too much.
Nah, man. I mean, it's an interesting thing about what you're talking about going everything about psychedelics, bringing you back to nature. And it's basically the core of existence. And all these entities, these elves, these things that people see seem to be traditionally what people see no matter what they're doing. So they're real in a sense. They're there. I mean, they could have been created by like pop culture. I don't know how far, like they say the first like mushroom trip was in 1799 and it was written about ever since. So if it got into the psyche and the things that people saw, and then of course, Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland from 1865, like the images from that create what people visualize. It was basically pop culture. So if you're going to be getting into these hallucinogens, maybe these images that you've read are conjured up because you've read them. But even before that shit, it's like the chicken or egg thing. Like, were they created and written about because they've just been experienced forever?
Well, that's the thing with, I think, when you're actually having like intense hallucinations is like, and again, it's like when you think about people who have actually almost died and had these religious experience, you know, you could think about the angels they saw or like the, you know, the lights and all this shit. You could pin that to like a DMT trip almost, like where things have got really crazy and surrounding and you see little creatures that tell you all about your own life. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that sounds a little bit like a DMT trip to me. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, again, like no one can explain life, but like when you're able to strip away what you think and just kind of look at it bare bones and are able to like channel that side, you know, it definitely changes perspective and life. And, you know, so I think that these elves do change you and do teach you things because you're able to look at things differently and able to understand things a little differently.
Right. It's just interesting thinking about, I mean, what the fuck is their origin? What is it, I mean, is this something you see when you die?
I don't know. And again, that's like, it's kind of like one of those weird things where it's just like, I saw these little creatures and then I saw Princess Mononoke after. You know what I mean? I had no pop culture reference to
go. Yeah, that's another thing. I mean? It's like, if you went into your mushroom trip when you were 11 and you weren't reading about like extraterrestrials or you weren't reading about anything, like none of this shit was on your mind and you saw them, that's a genuine experience, because a lot of experiencers of anything weird, any debunker is going to say you were looking for it because you're into it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you weren't into it and you experienced it, then you got into it, that's a whole fucking different thing. And then when millions of people are experiencing similar things,
same thing,
under similar circumstances, what the fuck? What are they? Where are they from? What is it? You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like how when I first talked to you about this, I wanted to talk about the aliens or whatever, because it's in North Bend, you know what I mean? Where my favorite camping spot is.
Right.
You know, I was really high when it happened, but we took a bunch of video of it. This is the crazy thing. And the video still looked insane the next day. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's pitch black. And the only thing that could look like that is an airplane, but airplanes don't move like, you know, like this and then disappear real fast.
Zigzagging
like,
everywhere.
Well, it was just like, and it was just like, it was stupid because it was just like, you know, red and blue lights, like almost like cop lights with like the loud bright. And then, you know, afterward, I look up again, you know, it's like you look this up and it's like, oh, that's a very super common thing around this area. You know, seeing right. that like a kind of like triangle thing with like, just like, God damn it. Like, I didn't fucking know that. Like,
right.
You know, it's just like, I thought I saw aliens when I was younger, but then it was like, I saw all that. And then we sat down and that's when I got stuck in my loop because I did 5 hits of acid and I ate half an ounce of Cubensi mushrooms.
Damn.
That's that was an intense trip. But I got stuck in that loop and I was just like, I was after the alien thing and I was just like, those fucking aliens, they came down. I'm like stuck in, they like captured me. They trapped my mind. Like, I got really lost in like that train of thought when I was stuck in my loop.
So let's bring this point up too, because when we're talking about the elves and we're talking about their origin, and some people think they're interdimensional, some people think they're extraterrestrial, and some people think one way or the other they're tricksters, like they're here to manipulate you and to fuck with you and to skew your reality and to keep thinking the way that you're thinking, to not know the truth, or to I don't know, just like trip you out or something. Like, what do you think about the idea that these creatures or entities that you're seeing could be there to throw you off the path of whatever truth you might be seeking, or to continue
that,
the lies?
I mean, that could be a thing, but those would be like tricksters I've never seen. Because when I've seen creatures, I've definitely never gotten like caught in the loop. You know what I mean? It's just like the loop usually happens when I eat way too much of drugs, and then like, again, you get stuck and you think you die, you know, and that could be like a trickster thing. Who knows?
But you come out of that with a positive mindset, though.
You do. And then, so that's a crazy thing. Well, the first time really messed me up. Messed me up.
But if they're tricksters, I mean, what could the trick be? What's the distraction?
It's just so
what are they trying to keep you from?
Trying to explain these loops.
But
you know, why? There's only
when people have bad experiences and experience them as tricksters, like devious creatures, what do you think of that? And where do you think? What do you think that they're experiencing, and why?
I think, again, it all comes from a part of, I think, your own subconscious. So I think that, again, like a lot of people that like maybe perhaps hide too much of like a desire or want, you know what I mean? Or like maybe they like are overly good because they have terrible thoughts all the time or something. You know, it's just like it could be like, again, like a part of themselves that they don't know how to accept or indulge or get rid of, or whatever, because again, like every human being is so crazy, and there's so many crazy, there's so many humans on this planet, you know what I mean? It's like,
right,
it is really weird when you think about the like collective subconscious and insanity that brains can bring up and conjure, yeah. And the fact that there's billions of them is insane, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like,
well, what's wild is you and your friend could have the same exact experience with the same exact elves or spirits and come away saying basically the same thing, but having different feelings about it. Or, you know what I mean? So it's like, even though you had the same experience, you're having two different experiences because you're two different people. That's just the way that life works. And so it's almost like everything is an extension of yourself, whether you want it to be or not, you know? So.
Totally. And I mean, again, it's like extreme isolation. Like a lot of people feel like that extreme isolation during COVID, but it's like, unless you've been through a winter when it's 60 below zero outside and you know, there's no internet, you know what I mean? It's like, you'll see what all sorts of crazy things your mind can do to you, you know, naturally, you know what I mean? It's just like,
it's, and you've been through that.
Yeah. I suffered through that.
Wow, dude. Couldn't imagine.
But I mean, global warming, it's not as crazy there anymore.
Wow. Well, that's kind of sad. It makes you long for the 60 below winters, doesn't it?
And a little bit. Well, in Valdez, when we were a kid, there was this huge glacier. I can't remember the name of it in Valdez, but it was like receding, like a, you know, and this glacier is receding 1 inch a year, you know, and it really made me sad when I looked at a picture from when I was younger. You know, the last time I was there is maybe like 1994 or something like that, five.
Mm-hmm.
And it's practically to the rock, which is like a little over a mile away. And it was supposed to be receding, you know, an inch a year. And in 20 years, it's gone over a mile.
Holy fuck.
You know, it gives you a real perspective on what's happening with
how fucked everything is.
Ice caps, the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the world needs to see their own DMT elves and change Seriously. The perspective on
I was just about what ready they to say. Do
with their lives and the environment they live in, and then we hang all the capitalistic pigs that are in, you know, the Procter Gambles and all those guys, you know, that ruined everything for profit,
right?
And then, you know, we stick them on Bezos Air, SpaceX, and
shoot them out into space. just more space trash. It's like,
yeah.
Well, it goes to show, if you experience any elvish creatures in the woods, or maybe not in the woods, whether you're high or not, maybe you got to listen to what they're saying. Maybe they got something to say, because it is very interesting. Because to me, I've never experienced any of this shit that we've been talking about tonight, but based on just like the experiences from people that I've been reading about and your experience, and it, you know, it could be people's version of God talking to them and all of that stuff. And maybe it is.
I refer to it as a personal God as well. Like many times I call it talking to God, you know what I mean? Where it's just,
and that's
like,
usually a positive thing. And it's usually like a back to nature, take care of yourself, nurture the planet and respect Earth kind of thing. It's this very simple concept. And what's interesting is no matter your race, no matter your background or your political ideals, it seems like when people do things like a heavy dose of mushrooms or DMT, it seems to always go to the same fucking place. Whether you experience elves or not, nature is heavily featured, and it's always, you always come away with a massive respect for it that you know you always had. And it's like, don't ignore me as much as you've been ignoring me, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone seems to come away with that. So maybe we all just need to do more psychedelics. But and
mushrooms are like the most important thing on this planet too. You know what I mean? For keeping the human race alive and stuff, like,
right.
Not just magical ones like insulin, you know, or like all these other things that heal the human body that wouldn't have been able to do it without studying mushrooms. It's crazy.
What's that? Is it Fantastic Fungi? Is that the name of the fucking documentary?
The shorter one?
No, it's a thing that feature length. My buddy JPX made me a copy of it, and I watched it. It's phenomenal. So the guy from Washington.
I've seen a few mushroom documentaries because I'm fascinated by mushrooms. Like, not just
very
the
important
magical kinds, just
very
mushrooms
important
in general.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Just mushrooms in general.
They're just so cool.
Yeah, and keep the earth thriving. The mycelia.
Yeah.
If that's the word, I'm pretty sure that's correct. But I was reading this article about Michael Pollan wrote about doing mushrooms and being in the state of Washington, where you live, where we currently are. And he wouldn't disclose his exact location. And he was with a professor. I don't know if it was Evergreen or someone who's a huge mushroom person. And he said he was near like Cape Disappointment, Long Beach area. He didn't disclose because the guy didn't want him, but it was a nature like where you can.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the peninsula area kind of around there. That's where the whole rainforest is. And the peninsula.
But you can pick, you can pick psilocybin mushrooms, certain kinds.
I mean, everywhere in the Northwest, Washington and
right.
Oregon, you can find them pretty regularly.
He, I mean, they found him like in the parking lot of this fucking place that he was at.
They got a certain smell. Mm-hmm. And once you kind of like learn how to train your nose what to look for, it's I mean, you can walk through the parks around the college campus. It's very fertile around there. And yeah, it's like at the right time of year, you'll find tons of magical mushrooms through there.
Isn't that wild? It's just like, you got to know what you're looking for. Because the way that Pollan was explaining it is they didn't look any different than hundreds that I thought were them. And then the one that was actually the psilocybin mushroom, I mean, like he said, I couldn't have picked it out from any other one that I was picking out earlier. But I guess when you like rub your finger on it or whatever, it kind of turns blue or some shit, like it activates the psilocybin or some weird shit. It's kind of how,
yeah,
you know.
It's when you're like, yeah, they bruise really easily.
Bruise. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. They always turn that bluish color,
but it's just wild that they look just like everything else. But if you know what you're looking for, and you got to be careful,
smell,
of course.
They, of course. But I mean, it's just like anything. You just do it enough with an expert until you know enough. You know what I mean? It's like, don't try it on your own the first couple times. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a lot of mushrooms that are bad for you. And
yeah,
there are also a lot of good mushrooms out there too. But it's just like, you know, we get chanterelles all over Washington.
Yeah,
you know, those are the ones that are like $18.99 a pound at your
delicious,
you know, local organic grocery store. That are amazing. Yeah, but you know,
just
it's like if you go out, we'd fill one to two of those like brown paper like grocery bags full of them, you know.
And yeah, it's like, that's great.
What kind of pasta sauce are we? You know, it's like my favorite thing to eat with those mushrooms is some kind of like buttery, creamy thing.
Right. It's funny because, you know, and I get it. Like even our next door neighbor, he's got his spot. He came and he gave us a bunch of chanterelles just for free. And I was like, oh, where'd you go? And he's like, meh, I can't tell you. I'm like, okay, I understand.
Got to respect it. Well,
no one can again, ever know.
I feel like because of the internet and like TripAdvisor and all these other things, like all these like magic spots more right. than ever are being kind of like abused a little. So it's like, I never feel bad about, you know, when people are like that for so many years. I have finally stopped caring as much lately, but like, I wouldn't tell about my secret North Bend spots. You know what I mean? Those are like, those are my spots. You know what I mean? It's like, got to take these secret roads for like 20 miles, you know, right. one way tiny road.
Right.
Then you find it, you know,
next time you go there, there's like six people there just hanging out with like a TV on and, they're like, what the fuck happened to my spot?
Yeah. Or the worst, playing reggae.
Not just, they're playing a reggae DVD on a TV powered by a generator.
Yeah, and they're completely white.
Let's hope that never happens. I hope that never happens.
Yeah. Anyway. But again, I mean, it's just like you can't get bitter or angry. I try not to do that about anything because it's just like everything's changing everywhere. Everyone hates their city right now because it's different.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, that's just what happens with time. And it's like, and if you don't learn to adapt and change, you're going to be forgotten. Eat a mushroom.
Eat a mushroom.
Find a little elf and learn your life lessons, you know.
Yeah man, I gotta find these elves, or maybe I just watch Princess Mononoke. I've never watched. Maybe I just do that.
Really? Have you seen any of Miyazaki's movies?
Nah man, I'm not an anime kinda. I'm not that into it.
I get it, but these are like insanely powerful stories. More than it, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they're animated, but they're just such fantastic. And like, it's a lot of it has to do with like nature and the humans, right. like, for you know, forgetting shit and all this stuff. So it's like, it's pretty powerful. I think between that one and Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind, which has like the poison forest, which is like essentially okay. just trying to reclaim the land.
I'll give it a shot for you. But, I'll have to check it out. I've never watched it.
Yeah, I'm gonna want you to like give me a full report. I'm talking like two pages, like double space type.
Oh, double space, easy. Okay.
But like front back, you know what I mean? So
I'll cheat. I'll do 12 and a half, 13 font, something like that.
Ooh. You know,
just go a little larger than normal, get a few extra or less lines per page, you know.
I see you, like me, didn't care much for doing homework and tried everything you could to skim some fat off.
That's why he's like, you're not getting one more fucking sentence out of me. This is all I got. I'll make it
all quick. Right. I feel like we're at the end here, right?
Yeah, I feel that. Very much. How, well, if there's anything else you need to say about the topic itself or any lesson you want to leave behind, please do. And you know, we got into it at the top of the show, but if there's anything about what you're doing creatively, go ahead, spit it out.
Well, I do have that tour coming up in December that will hopefully happen with my band Death Cave on the West Coast. I have a record label, Satanic Royalty Records. Got a bunch of really cool records coming out, a bunch of really cool bands out of Seattle. find out about that on basically any and all social media or website, SatanicRoyaltyRecords.com. And Satanic is spelled S-A-T-A-N-I-K, because I didn't want it completely related to the religious Satan. Anyway, thank you for having me. And I had a lot of fun discussing this crazy topic.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being here with me and telling me a lot of your stories. Very interesting. I love it. And
got a lot of stories. I could talk for days.
Well, we'll do it again sometime. We got more to talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to maybe do my own podcast thing here in the next year at my office. I have such a cool office here in Seattle. So it's like a half a block away from Pike Place Market. Mm-hmm. So it used to be the old Vogue. So it's like a building from the 1800s, surrounded by a million new buildings, but it's like protected. It was a brothel at one point.
Weren't they all? I swear they all were brothels.
Port town,
yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
I get a lot of lonely lonely fellas coming in from a long time out at sea. All right, well, Jason, we'll see you soon. December 3rd in Portland.
Oh, boy. Hit me up, or I'll hit you up.
I will.
I'll figure it out. I'd love to see
you. Put you on the list. We're going on tour with Eris.
What? You're gonna be with Bewitcher?
Eris?
Yeah. I thought you were talking about
Bewitcher.
I thought you were talking about Eris Hunter Wales.
Oh no, the band Eris. With John Pettibone.
How the fuck do you spell Eris?
The band name. E-I-R-E-S-S.
Oh my god. See, I got Eris brain, like my friend Eris from Order of the Gash and Bewitcher.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, his name is Eris, but it's A-R-I-S.
I was just thinking about Order of the Gash because
oh my god.
Funny. What's his name? Benedict, dude from Call, who is another Melissa's band.
Dylan.
Dylan, yeah. So Dylan moved to Seattle and he makes amps and he's in a new death metal band in Seattle called Deconsecration, which rules.
Dude, he's
great. Love how playing shows with Melissa from good Lord, 16-17 years ago.
Oh yeah, I know.
I've played with her in four different bands now, and I've been in four or five since then, and it's just I love it.
She's the best, dude. Order of the Gash.
Just I don't know, just the lifelong people who are just keep shredding and have always been so pure about it. There's just something that just makes me happy about that, you know.
I agree. And let's not get confused. Eris Hunter Wales was a guest of mine on Lost Rhetoric, and you can listen to that episode, and it's amazing. But Death Cave is going on tour with Eris, H-E-I-R-E-S-S.
And we'll be playing with Glasgow at the world famous Kenton Club on December 3rd.
I love it. Well, shout out to Eris and Eris. I can't wait to, maybe they'll both be in the same building and we can all hang out.
Have a good laugh.
and Melissa will be there too.
Of course. She's fucking shredder.
Damn right. All right. Well, Killer Freiberger, like I said, appreciate it. Let's do it again. And when you start your podcast, consider me. I'll be a guest.
Yeah. I don't know what it's about, but I love talking and I want to get a podcast where I just kind of ramble.
Same. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Ramble with buddies. Totally. I mean, I had a radio show and when I was in high school, I had two radio shows at the college.
Mm-hmm.
One was a punk metal show. And the other was a love show. So one, I hadn't even kissed a girl at that point, let alone have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have random guests on and we'd just pretend to know everything about relationships. And we'd have people call in and just give them the worst advice ever. It was a really, really fun time.
Oh my God. It's like the 40-year-old virgin when he talks about grabbing a boob and it feels like sand.
Yeah, to an extent that's an ultimate, but it's just campy, off of the definitely influenced by SNL's The Ladies Man, you know, yeah. Like,
absolutely,
like, yeah, it was just having fun.
I would love to hear that if you got any old cassette tapes kicking around. Let's bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Never thought about that, but I bet the college does have some shit on files.
Old tape.
They do things like keep archives.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Check well, sweet man. Well, I still got some flyers to make here tonight, so I'm gonna get back to the grind.
Get busy, man. I'm glad you fit some time in for me. It's
good to chat with you, man. I had a lot of fun doing this.
Appreciate it. Yeah, definitely. Let's, like I said, let's do it again.
All right. Ta-ta.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, there it is. There it was. Freiberger and I talking tree spirits. Tree elves, whatever you want to call them, getting fucked up on mushrooms, DMT, ayahuasca, psychedelics of any kind, and just encountering entities from somewhere, whether within yourself, outside of yourself, in this dimension, in another dimension, in this life, in another life, who knows? I guess it's all subjective, but... really great conversation. Love talking to him. I'm glad he was here with me on what could be considered the first episode of the second season of Lost Rhetoric. But really, it's just episode 53. So let's listen to his band. This is Death Cave. Here's a snippet of a song of theirs called Last Breath. Just gets more awesome from there. That is Death Cave featuring Freiberger on the bass guitar and vocals.
That song is off an album called Smoking Mountain. They're going to be on tour this December. They're going to be with some good friends from Prescott, Arizona, called Ugly on a few dates. Like you said, they're going to be with Eris. And a few other bands are joining them on a few different dates. I'm going to post the flyer. I'm going to post the link to their Bandcamp. I'm going to post all the shit that you could use to find them and listen to them and buy their stuff. But awesome band. Awesome dude. Thank you, Freiberger, for being here. Really, really appreciate it. Now, if you have a story involving these tree spirits, these elves, these machine elves, fractal elves, any of this stuff while under the influence of psychedelics, or maybe not under the influence of psychedelics, I would love to hear from you. I really want to hear from you. If you write me and tell me your story at the top of the next episode, I will tell your story as a continuation of this story. I would love to begin every new episode with some like a little follow-up, or maybe some addendum to the previous episode via the listener. If you got anything to say, any story to tell, I would love to hear from you, and I will repeat it if it makes sense to repeat it in the following episode. So if you got any relatable story pertaining to the topic that Freiberger and I talked about tonight, please let me know. You can write me, just straight up email me, lostrhetoricpodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram @lostrhetoricpodcast, on Twitter @lost_rhetoric. Go to the website, lostrhetoric.com, and you can comment on the episode there. On top of that, just follow and subscribe wherever you can. Follow me on Spotify. I'm loving the Spotify numbers. They're growing like crazy. And like I keep saying, I got my eye on the trending charts. If I can get enough listeners, maybe I can crack that, you know? Why not? A boy can dream. But you can do the traditional fucking iTunes rate review. Those are always very nice. Definitely feel free to do that. And I can't really think of much else other than thank you guys for being here with me. I will be back in a couple weeks. I've got some stuff planned. But yeah, I can't emphasize enough how much I would love to hear from you guys. Write me about this episode, about the show in general, about anything. I would love to hear from you. Would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you. So that's it. That's all I got. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you again, Freiberger. Listen to Death Cave. Go see them on tour. And spread the word of Lost Rhetoric far and wide. I'm back. I'm going to try to be as consistent as possible. And that's all I got. I love you guys. I will see you next time. And until then, please, everyone, stay sane and stay safe. Shit. I didn't mention I had merch. Doesn't matter. Find it anyway. LostRhetoric.com.